Polly Nee from Berwick Secondary College. Today, the 25th September 1990, I'm interviewing Ms. Margaret Gardner of the Dandenong Aboriginal Cooperative. The topic we will be discussing is the Native Police Force of the Narre-Warren area during the period 1835 to 1900.
Captain Dana was, I suppose, the commander that most was written about. There was, were they brothers?
Henry and William?
I think. I'm not sure which one was the commander first. But I know one of them sort of established the Native Police Corps out at Narre-Warren. It was called the Narre-Warren Protectorate Station. And it was they initially established out there, and then for some reason moved in closer here, just at the radio at the police station. Some reason, I'm not sure why. Narre-Warren, well, obviously is an Aboriginal word. I could tell what it means, but. Yeah, Warren in English means a rabbit burrow, doesn't it? I suppose, Bob, if rabbits were running around here then they would have been breeding pretty quick. People wouldn't have been eating them. I don't think the Aboriginal people are too interested in eating them, because they're just a strange animal. People don't want to eat them now. A bit risky, though. They end up quite sick. Become a pest.
Did you think it wasn't needed in those times?
Oh, I don't know. See, the Native Police at the time were used not only to round up and control the Aboriginal people, they were also used to guard prisoners at the Old Melbourne Jail. And that, you know, could have been Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people. A bit ironic, I suppose, the Aboriginal men being made associate law enforcers, I suppose. They weren't, never fall anything. They didn't get the vote in 67. They weren't even citizens of their own country until 1967, legally. So it's a bit ironic that the Aboriginal black tracker was used to, I suppose, control the white man, the settler, the newcomer. But, oh yeah, you know, so it's really sad, actually. Shh. See, that there's a big pine tree up there that's supposed to have been planted by Governor of Tasmania's wife. But she didn't actually plant it because she never got here. So that's wrong information up there. It's even written down on my plaque, I think. She didn't plan it because she never came to Victoria. Or Port Phillip Protectorate it was then. It wasn't Victoria. Only named Victoria, I suppose, because Queen Victoria would have been a baby.
What were the attitudes of the recruited and non-recruited Aboriginals towards Native Police?
Well, if they're recruited, they were police dogs rather than that, they were Native Police anyway. I don't know, I think they're probably, well, they're not around to tell me now, but my opinion is that they probably were happy to become involved somehow and be accepted. Because, you know, the white man, the settler, was pretty well accepted by the Aboriginal people. There wasn't that many of them killed. The ones that were killed had probably done something wrong and deserved it anyway. Because it's Aboriginal law. If you do something wrong, you've got to be punished. 9 times out of 10 it didn't result in death, unless the crime was very serious. But you would be disabled somehow. You know, if you didn't end up on a cracked skull, you might have got a spear through the thigh or something. Had an arm broken. Just that it was more preventative than anything, I suppose. If you see someone get a spear through your leg, you might turn around and do the same thing that she did to and cop the same. So I think that they sort of enjoyed having some responsibility, I suppose. Obviously they were learning a new lifestyle, new customs, new language. I don't know if they would have enjoyed having any authority, and I certainly don't think they would have enjoyed hunting down their own people, because that's what they were used for.
Mm.
There was a white woman, two white women went missing on a ship that was became shipwrecked down on the coast, Gippsland coast. The two white women were found wandering in the bush by an Aboriginal tribe and were pretty well adopted, taken in and looked after. Now they would have died if this tribe hadn't have taken them in.
Mm.
And apparently one of them got pretty friendly with one of the headmen of the tribe. And these newcomers decided, "Ooh, gee, these women, we must go and rescue them. They're in danger. They might get killed, or they might get raped, they might this and that and the other." But they were actually quite healthy and safe.
Yeah.
Because one of them had a little boy with her. Apparently. Oh, a young one.
But a big idea to drive me down here. And while we're down, I'll show you what the Bulling area.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. While we're going down. I'll be around me.
So the native police corps were used to round up these savage black people who had probably somehow or other offended or hurt these women. Now, I don't know what happened to one of the women, but I know that another one was actually taken up into the Great Dividing Range area to be kept safe. I'm not even sure if she wanted to come back to her own people. Mm. I don't know. From what I understand, she wasn't one of those people that was socially acceptable anymore. One of those ladies who came out on a boat and had managed to get pregnant on the way and had a baby on the boat and the ship. Probably had venereal disease anyway.
How were they?
Well, the first women who came here were either convicts themselves or ladies of the night, shall we say.
How were the Aboriginals recruited for the police force?
Look, about two or three, up to four I think at one stage, or throughout the life of the native police corps were from Queensland.
Oh.
There wasn't very many local men that became, I suppose, trained and actually operated as native police. Mainly because, I suppose, they didn't want to go around chasing their own people. Because, you just sort of didn't do that. If you were somebody who meted out punishment, one or two people were sort of trained to do that and given that authority by elders of the tribe. So to be given that authority and to learn that you can actually kill with a long metal and wood thing, the gun, by people that aren't your elders, I think to most of the local men would have seemed quite strange.
Mm-hmm.
The Queensland men that were involved, and I'm not even sure how they got down here. They might have come down by sea at some stage, I don't know. But as I was saying about that white woman that was taken in by one of the Gippsland tribes, they went up there and tried to rescue her. What they did do was bring back one of the headmen. Old fella, Bungalene his name was. He's supposed to be buried up there somewhere. They took him up and tied him up to the tree, I think it is the one as you're going into the police paddocks on Brody Road there. You look, there's two soccer ovals, or two ovals, and there's a tree on the stud road side of the soft, those ovals. I think it was that tree. They tied the chain into it. They left him there for weeks. Mm. He was piled by the dog. Mm. His wife had followed him down, two or three children, and one of his sons was, he would have been close on teenager then, not quite initiated, I'd say. He was sort of taken under somebody's wing and ended up circumnavigating the eastern side of Australia. He became a, what did he become? He was, I think he started off as a sort of cabin boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got as far as being a, not a ship's mate, but something like that. Anyway, he had a bit of authority as a sailor, mm-hmm. naval person. Not a bit concerned that he was, you know, he was quite bright, but he didn't seem overly concerned about learning the English language too quickly. So they plopped him on this boat, and of course I suppose he hadn't learned that.
Yeah.
I remember chucked overboard. But see, a lot of the Aboriginal people weren't used to sailing then anyway. A lot of the Gippsland tribes would not. They'd use canoes in the rivers or the lakes, but they wouldn't go out into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their stories, and they should tell them. I've got told a story once, but it's not for me to repeat because I'm not a person from Gippsland. So.
Were the Aboriginals properly trained, or they just?
I don't know. Perhaps it's. I suppose they were properly trained as far as they could be trained, or mm-hmm. allowed people to train them. But, you know, in my opinion, it's probably better that they weren't properly trained anyway, because, you know, who'd want to be a member of an Aboriginal tribe at that time and have your brother or father hunting you down? Because it's basically what they were used for, really.
Mm.
Hunting, controlling, transferring, depositing numbers of Aboriginal people over time. Perhaps not an individual, but a fair few. I was going through the records in the State Library one day, and the amount of Aboriginal men and women who were convicted of offences was quite high around that time. So if they escaped from custody, the native police were used to round them up.
Sorry.
Not very good, a bit like the Spanish when they went and took over that good look.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss the doors. Same sort of thing, except, well, our people were chained too.
Mm.
There's one picture on posters you might see from time to time of a lot of Aboriginal men standing in a row and they're all chained to each other. Terrible. I'm glad I wasn't alive then because, gee whiz, I would have murdered a few people.
Mm. Do you think it improved the situation between the white settlers and Aboriginals?
Not really.
No.
No, well, the native police weren't, as I was sort of trying to convey here before, they didn't have any social standing.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't accepted as human beings, as people. They were by the white people immediately around them on a day-to-day basis, obviously, but there was no respect for the native police outside of the people who set it up anyway and who were involved on a regular basis. I reckon. I haven't read anywhere where, I suppose a couple of the native police would have got commendations or honours or given a little medal to pin on his rotten, dirty uniform. But, you know, that's no big deal, right? They thought it was good men. They were just being patted on the back for perhaps keep killing one of their own people.
Do you believe that it was formed in the interest of both white and Aboriginals, or just for dominance over the Aboriginals?
Dominance over the Aboriginals. Yeah. That might not have been the direct purpose of it originally, but that's what it became.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people might start off with good intentions, but unless you're very careful, things can change there. Mm-hmm. What happened. They even went down, at one stage went down to the Western District. They didn't last long there. Some of the Western District people just sort of picked up and decided to fight. We were outnumbered at that stage. In numbers of people, well, the Navy police were outnumbered, but of course, you know, one gun can kill half a dozen people pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't take long to reduce the numbers, I suppose, but, you know, poor old Blackwell would never change anyway. A bullet goes a lot further than a spear.
Yeah, sure it does. Okay, that's all. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate that.